Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. I am the dude in the chair, the right rev, Mr. Bobby Love himself. And I'm joined by my first co-host, Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney. How are we?
I'm good, thank you. Good to be back.
Good to be back after, what was it, a couple of weeks of, since the last one, whenever it was.
A couple of weeks of not doing it, I know. Get used to doing it. That's what it is.
And obviously, the man is back after buggering off on holiday and deciding to ditch us, thinking that was more important. Mr. Monks, Ali Moncrief, how are we this evening?
Very well, gents. Very well. Very well indeed. Slightly earlier start than normal, so for the listeners, if you hear any screaming in the background, it's my toddler resisting her bath time rather than... her thoughts on Bob's opinions. So
she's no screaming in support.
No, she's never done that yet in her life. So. No.
Excuse me. Yes, that's me coughing away. I've had a wee dose of the COVID again, and I'm quite scunnered by it all. So if you hear somebody coughing, that's me. I've not been on the Marlboro Reds or anything like that. I just had a really bad dose of the COVID. So obviously we've spoke for a couple of weeks. Major changes since then. Alan Mabry has departed the club. I will leave my opinions to the side just now and I'll let Ali go first.
Yeah, so I not to kind of break a merit on things in terms of our WhatsApp group, but I was probably the most pro Mabry staying throughout this difficult run. I thought it was thought he was the best man for the job. In terms of, like, you know, team performance things, I thought he was still getting enough out of the players. You know, results were awful, to be honest with you. We all understand that, but I was probably the most pro Mabry out of everybody. Having said all that, I have acknowledged for a while that he couldn't really complain if he got punted. You know, what were 13 games this season, 11 losses, 2 draws. I mean, that is an appalling record. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he can really have any... I don't think Alan Mabry can complain, is my thoughts. From my point of view, and I've said this before, I said to people, you know, games and things like that, I think people are paying too much attention to what we did last season. And I think last season was an anomaly. I think that was us performing above our abilities. That's not a dig at the players. I think it's a decent squad of players. But I think too many people were thinking we're going to do something similar. I also think some of the losses to the squad were more impactful than people are really acknowledging. I think missing somebody like James Craigan, to be honest with you, was a huge, huge loss to the team in terms of the way he controlled the tempo of games. He was a clever football player. I know he played out of position for a lot of the season, but an exceptional player. You know, Robbo frightened the life out of defences. I know Rab was injured a fair bit, but, you know, having his kind of experience and his knowledge and things like that was made a big difference. So, you know, kind of having said all of that and thinking about it, and also, and I think this is important from my point of view, is Alan Mabry will always have a huge amount of goodwill from me for what he did for us when he came in. You know, we are in League One because of him. It's the best day I've ever had supporting a football, you know, watching football, watching sport that we got from that, you know, that playoff win. So he's got a huge amount of credit in the bank for me. I think we're overestimating how good we should be this season. Underestimating some of the losses to the squad. And I think we will struggle to get somebody who is a better manager than Alan Mabry. So from all of those things, I think it's not a decision I agree with, and I'm not privy to any kind of, you know, the details and things. But having said all of that, he can't complain because it does come down to results. You know, we can, and we'll maybe chat, and I'll let, you know, Rooney have a shot, but I want to come back to some of the performances and things as well. But yeah, for me, it's not a decision that I'm behind. I'm not jumping up and down about it because I understand it. But for the credit in the bank, some of the circumstances around it, I think he still had a chance of keeping us in this division. I'm intrigued to see who comes next. So we'll maybe touch on that later. So I'll pass over to, I said enough for just now, but I'll pass to Rooney.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. And, you know, he needs massive credit for changing the shape when we come in, making us hard to beat, you know, a wee bit more direct, and getting us promoted. Obviously, our goalie on that night deserves a lot of credit as well. But I agree with you, you know, Alan turned it around. You know, he did turn it around and he made us competitive and give us a chance. And we took it, you know, and we done it. You know, I'm not going to decram that. No, definitely not. He definitely deserves that credit. Last year, I think it was very much it could have been an exceptionally good bounce if the previous owners hadn't changed the football club name, because you imagine them actually having supporters to play in front of, or, you know, like, there's not many of us, but we're a hardy bunch. And, you know, it would have been some great days and some more experience, you know, if there was more of us there. I don't think that helped. I think that probably would have helped even better, but they had an exceptional year. And you see a lot of clubs do it after a bounce of getting promoted and through the playoffs. Everybody's still got a buzz, kept the core of the squad. And that's not to say, you know, that is down to him, because he managed to tweak it and we went to a back four and things like that, and it worked last year. But any team at this level can do that, and any team at our level, I think, you know, the part-time teams could be in our position. I don't necessarily think it's solely down, you know, he's probably had a bit of bad luck with injuries. You lose Robbo and James Craig in, obviously different circumstances, but the boy Spence has come in, and we touch on that. I think he's done really well since he's played. He's not James Cregan, though. I fully appreciate that. I think we have recruited quite well as well for some of the guys we've got. And for me, something just isn't clicking. Mm-hmm. And that's as simple as, is it time for a change? You know, Ali and I are working in the financial industry, but if something wasn't working to the extreme we were doing, we'd probably all be sitting around the table and having a team-based problem-solving session to try and find out what the problem was. You know, I don't imagine that sort of done in the football circles. I can't imagine them all at the whiteboard, you know, with their post-its and how their feelings and everything like that and all that stuff. So, you know, in 9 times out of 10, it's always the manager's head that goes. You know, I agree with you, he had a lot of credit in the bank, but how long does the credit go from, and I can only say this from the other team that I follow that are based in Edinburgh, the board had another manager who had a lot of credit in the bank in their eyes, and the trap door for relegation was wide open at Christmas and they never seen it. So, you know, we're not quite there yet. And I hope I do agree with you. Performances, some of the performances have been really good. But how long do you give a guy? Do you know, if it's just not working anymore? Has he come in and got, dare I say it, has he come in and maybe got a new manager bounce and it's continued into till Christmas the next again year? Mm-hmm. It kept us up, which is great. But then as it went, do you know what I mean? Has he then had more to then take it further forward? I don't know. I don't know those answers, but I agree with you. You know, he goes down. We've had probably since we've been in the league 4 managers that have taken us. Gary brought us into the league. You know, what James McDonough done with us, like hit the crossbar, what, twice?
Mm-hmm.
For getting promoted. And then a team on horrible form, and what Alan done and his staff to get us promoted is incredible. Do you know? So he will go down as a great in our history, in the club's history. But I understand where you come from. But for me, I think if you look at the tail end of last year and you look what happened into this year, I think it was probably right. I think because I don't want it to, you know, we could sit here in 6 weeks' time and he's still got the job and maybe nothing's changed. Maybe it would change. You know, we can only, nobody's got a crystal ball. If we did, the world would be an easier place, you know. But I think it was probably, I would go the other way. I think it's probably right to be for it to go.
I'll jump in. I of the initial opinion, there was a lot of credit in the bank for Annan and getting us promoted. I mean, we were on, and we said it in the podcast when we did them at the time, that there was like a dark cloud lifted when Gary Naismith left. And Alan came in and did a magnificent job to turn that around. Obviously, like, he changed the shape immediately. You can see immediately, like, for example, Cammy Logan was better as a wing-back than as a proper right-back. Going to three at the back. Obviously, he had the benefit of the greatest goalkeeper we've ever had at the club. Sorry, Stobes. and Brian Schwalke, I don't think there's any debate about that, and we've said it then, we'll say it now, and we'll always say it, without Brian Schwalke, we wouldn't go promoted. But there was other tweaks in front of Schwalke that made a massive difference. There was a bit more belief around the camp. That carried on into the League One season. He's got to have huge credit for keeping that team together, considering all the turmoil, which is probably a finer word for it, that was going on off the park with the name change and the fans at the board and the drop in season ticket holders and the shambles at Meadowbank and everything else that was going on. And then obviously after that, after we had essentially a first half of fixtures, the form just dipped off a cliff for whatever reason that may be. Obviously there's probably circumstances with the previous board and all that. It might be, as a couple of other fans have said, that maybe just tactically got found out a little bit as well. Once you've seen everybody a couple of times, you start knowing how everybody's going to play. And the adjustments perhaps weren't there in the second half of the season. The one thing I'll say from, say, the last season and the promotion season compared to now is that his substitutes were always bang on. This season, they look a bit debatable. And I don't think that's necessarily to do with the personnel. I just think at times it's maybe the wrong person coming off, or he thinks too much and the shape was changing when they didn't really need to, and wee bits and bobs like that, which weren't quite working in his favour. Things that we're trying, just maybe were working in the past, weren't quite working now. I suppose if you're talking about the record in the calendar year, I worked it out, as long as my maths is roughly right. You know how bad my maths is at times. It's 30 games, 4 wins, 6 draws, 20 losses. Goals for 38, goals against 63. Now, by any stretch of the imagination, that's not good enough. We had an 11-game losing streak this year, and I know there were other circumstances and League Cups, and we were using that as pre-season, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't look good. I did have a lot of credit, and as much as I liked Alan and his interviews, he was straightforward, he was good to deal with when I've spoke with him. That Q&A, he was very candid amongst us as well. I am of the opinion probably it was probably the right time to go. Ideally, personally, and it's nothing saying otherwise, I probably would have had him away about 2 weeks ago, if I'm being brutally honest. I even said that after we were phone landing at Montrose Supporters Club account, I was like, I think that's a manager away. Right? Because just for the simple fact is that you shouldn't be going down phone landing to Montrose. I know they're a good team for the level. I know there was a bit of bad luck as well, and we had played actually no too bad on that day, but it just seemed to be one of those things of like, that's how the season's gone for us, just nothing working. He looked bereft of ideas. He sounded absolutely done in that post-match interview after Montrose. So I think I get where both of these are coming from. I think it's probably the right thing to do, just so we don't get marooned. Obviously, as I said, like, obviously spoke on the phone earlier on, changing the manager's a gamble. But it doesn't make a difference when you do it, how you do it, what level you're at. Every time you do it is going to be a gamble.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
So, it is, and like,
yeah, go on.
But I just before I forget, it's interesting you talk about the Montrose game, because to me it would have made more sense to get rid of him then, because I actually, especially when you think of beforehand, and for all I like Mabry, there I do have some criticisms of him. One of them is the way, to my mind, he threw the young boys under the bus against East Kilbride. Played a full team of young boys, no experienced players there to help them, but beat 4-1, not a pleasant experience at all. And he's done that to have everybody fresh for the Montrose game, the next weekend, and we're 4-0 down at half time, or whatever it was. To me, that's a desperate sign from a manager when he chucks a game away, which he's done in the Challenge Cup. And I know it's not a big competition, but he's chucked that game. He said, "I'm not interested." He's put a lot of young boys out, and I think I was not happy when I saw the lineup. I didn't think it was fair on them, all that kind of stuff. And then to get an absolute doing off Montrose, for me, if he'd been sacked then, I would have made total sense. And you're right, he did sound stunned after it. That to me would have made sense. But Rooney and I sat together at the Cove Rangers game, and we played pretty well. We were decent. The players didn't look like they'd given up on him. Very, very close. We should have won the game. Very, very close to doing so on another day. We probably would have. And then reasonable enough performance at Alloa. It's just not, draw away to Alloa is basically a good result. Like it's not a good result in the context of we've only got something our second point in the season. But like it's not a bad thing. It's to me after the Montrose game, because I think the East Kilbride, the Challenge Cup thing was a huge misstep, to be honest with you, coupled with an absolute doing at Montrose, that to me would have been the logical point to let him go. But I'd, over the last couple of weeks, I'd seen enough from the players to say that the majority of them, the players were still playing for him, they were still taking on his instructions. Still think we're too naive as a team, but you can tell that in the amount of goals that we've conceded. But that to me felt like the point to get rid of him. If you could, with two kind of relatively, well, I suppose three reasonable fixtures coming up. I know we've got Kelly on Saturday, but then we're away to Hamilton. So it would have made sense from my mind at Montrose to say, "Look, Alan, that's thank you very much, but enough's enough." And then you give the new manager three reasonable games. That's my thoughts anyway. So look, I'm not privy to what goes on behind the scenes. But he wasn't sacked on Saturday night. It was what day is today, Wednesday. So he was sacked on Tuesday. I guess the team
Monday
around him
morning.
was he sacked on Monday morning?
I
Well,
caught
fair
my
enough
name. I
then.
caught my name McGlade in the evening news. They had a
Right,
talk about
okay,
Monday
fair enough.
morning.
Fair enough. So maybe it was quite quick, but it just feels, and like I said, not privy obviously to what goes on, but it does feel, the timing feels slightly strange to me.
Although you say that, in some ways I do agree because I would have had him out earlier than he was. But I remember very, very much we had exactly the same conversation when Gary Naismith got sacked, going, "Pretty strange time to do it, eh?" Just as we were kind of on the
It did
cusp of the
actually. It did,
playoffs,
yeah.
and it was on the cusp
Yeah.
of the playoffs, and we kind of picked up a wee bit of form at the time, but obviously he was as miserable as he always was. And we had exactly that same conversation. So maybe mirroring what happens again, new guy comes in and we get a wee bounce and we get ourselves out the trouble that we're in. I mean, like I know you spoke about the squad and I totally agree, like the guys are huge losses, right? Obviously you're Robbie Much in there as well. I think Aidan McAdams is just as good, if not better, keeper, to be quite honest. The thing about the squad is we maybe underestimated the departures and all that. Yeah, I tend to agree, but also that came from the manager who says he thought the squad this year is better than last year. Right, so if we're underestimating it, he definitely has. Right, and I don't think I
Yeah,
think the
so
squad.
I should have been clear. I include him in that. I think he
Yes.
overestimates the ability of us of where we are, and that leads us to be naive and get caught when we're trying to do too much. That's
Right.
yeah, so I should have been clear on
I
that.
think, but on the other side of that, I think the squad is better on 2 points.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Right. I mean, there's some guys in the team, especially who have been playing really, really, really well this season. You know what I mean? Without having to pick out individuals, well, we're going to pick out individuals because it's probably the easiest way to do it. You know what I mean? Lee Hamilton has stepped up his game yet again. You know what I mean? As I always say, for a guy who's only ever brought in as a backup, he's pretty much one of the first names on the team sheet because he's been absolutely brilliant for us his entire time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Callum Crane, we're a far better team when Callum Crane plays, regardless of whether he plays left back or in the middle.
Yeah.
Louis Spence has come in, he's taken perfectly to the team, he's up and down that park. I mean, we were saying at Alloa Rooney that he was done in 85 minutes because he literally covered every blade of grass. You know what I mean? He was brilliant, absolutely fantastic. You know what I mean? You've got other guys in there that are doing well. Danny's still playing well. And Ennis-Murray's been magnificent this season. You know, so the parts of the squad are still playing well. It just, they're just, as Rooney said, it's no quite clicking. The only thing I will say is that when we eventually get our first win, it's probably going to be something like an 89th minute sclaff, right? Or somebody's going to get a total hiding.
A total doing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's going to be one or other. Right?
Yeah.
I'd prefer if it was a total hiding to give them confidence, a wee bit of a boost.
Yeah.
But because I think we've got it somewhere. We've got it somewhere. I just have to make sure that everybody clicks at the same time.
Yeah.
Really?
I agree. No, no, I agree. And I agree with you, the both of you, when you say it seems a strange time because after getting a hump in it, Montrose. And then obviously, like Ali says, we watched the Cove game. Change of shape. I thought we played quite well. Sometimes shifted into a back four when we were defending. You know, it was very, very modern. That's probably the way to put it. But you know, the team moved well, and you know the shape was great. And I just thought the two up front linked well. You know, one's good at one, one's good at the other, so they played to their strength, sort of thing. I thought it was really good, and then obviously. Pure lad makes a mistake at the end, and that seems to be what's happening. And we get one mistake and we'll get punished. And then you go to Alloa, and again, so everybody in Leach come in and play in the middle of the park.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
He was excellent.
He got the ball, he was absolutely brilliant.
He took maybe a bit of a ricochet for his bit of pressing down to like get the ball, and the ball broke to him, and he took his chance and scored, which is something that's probably just not happened in previous games, but he's made that happen. Kelsey and, you know, Craney playing, Kelsey playing right wing back, and you could tell he was blowing hard at the end as well, running up and doing after that left winger and left back and kept going at him. But, you know, they did. They played well.
Mm-hmm.
Team playing for 75 minutes or whatever they played, you know, made a big difference. Just, I think there was at one point where we were shouting, he wanted to do a bit of Beckenbauer and go for a 1-2 on the fast break, and we're all going, no, don't do it, stay back. But he made a massive difference, you know, and it's just like you say, just as when it looks like, is it Kevin Keegan that one said, I know we just need to turn around the corner, but I don't know where it is along those lines, you know what I mean? I've just got to find it. And it looked like we almost found where the corner was, you know, for the last couple of weeks, especially when Hedge could have went down against Alloa when they scored against the run of play.
Aye, and it was although very much against
you know, it'd been a bit ding-dong in the first half, but in the second half, City were great, and we scored the run on top. It looked like we could go and score again, and then they scored against the run of play. The boys scored a cracking header, right enough, you know, so I agree with you. It seems strange that it's done when it's been done, when you think, logically, the three of us would have agreed that you're just being horsed off Montrose, the tools are after the East Cup ride, as Ali's pointed out, is it that should have been time to go, sort of thing. But
I mean, I suppose, like, I was at Montrose and the scoreline flattered them considerably. Didn't get me wrong, yeah. Right? But some of the goals were really poor to lose. And obviously, at the same time as well, we changed the formation for a back four to going three at the back. After, obviously, listen to me and Rooney's tactical genius. Right? Because we said, let's go back to three at the back. No,
pretty much
but
see,
the team. Just get us in as a new management team. Us three instead, aye. But no, but seriously, the thing was, when he first came in, obviously, and that's what we said, when he first came in, the most success we had was three at the back. Moved to four last year, worked well, then it kind of stopped working well, but he didn't kind of really change it. Hadn't been working this year, moved to a three at the back, we started playing a wee bit better. We played a wee bit better again against Cove, and then we played decently enough against Alloa for parts of the game. My concern, I guess, for the performances really is that we haven't been able to hold on for a tired 90 minutes, and I think that's kind of cost us some points.
Yeah. But dare I say it, just interject there, that comes out for guys running. The only guy in that team at the moment that seems like Craney does what Craney does, he's always played at that sort of, I'm not having a go at Craney, but he always seems to play at that pace, and that's it. He's been at that pace. You know what I mean? He's always at that pace and up at that tempo. It's Innes Murray. Innes is the only one that seems to have the Duracell battery on him, and he just keeps going and going. Do you know? And that's, and I'm not, like, Spence, and especially Spence, I was really impressed with at the weekend. He was blown hard. You could tell he had done it, but you've got to be able to run for 90 minutes as a minimum, eh?
Aye, and well,
we can go through football and ability, we can go through tactics, we can go through everything. But, you know, it's hard. I know everybody's different, and the three of us are all different, you know, for you to be able to go through 90 minutes or 60 minutes or do whatever you do, or, you know, in different places, you know what your body does, but you've got to be able to try and get to 90 minutes, eh, and get through it. And it seems like that's a bit of a struggle for at the moment, which is might change, and hopefully will change under the new management.
Mm-hmm. Ollie?
Yeah, I think for all I'm saying, I don't think the squad is as good as people think it is. What I really mean by that is that actually League One is a pretty decent standard.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I don't think it's as easy as it was ever going to be as easy as it was last year. But, you know, you look at the core of it, Aidan McAdams has been absolutely outstanding since he's come back. Pleasant surprised by how good he's been. You know, the Falkirk game, we got beat 2-0. It could have been about 7. He made a handful of ridiculous. Yeah, Lee Hamilton obviously has been turned into one of our most important players. Both the players you could call out that, but I mean, Ryan Shanley just is. When he's on form, there isn't a centre half in the division that can stop him. No. He was unbelievable against Cove. It was just an absolute, like, Carlos Tevez style performance from him. That's what he was like. He was just, and, like, you know, he was up. The amount of balls he wins in the air, it's unbelievable. He's not a big guy.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. He reminds me of what Neil McCann used to do, a guy who's like really tiny. Okay. 5'6" or whatever he is. I'm sure he says he's like his official height's about 5'10" or whatever, but it's no, let's be honest. Right. But he's got such a spring for such a guy.
Unreal.
And like the amount of defenders that he out jumps who are like about a foot taller than him. I've lost count. You just lost count how many times he does it.
Yeah, it's great to watch, and you can see how much defenders hate playing against him. He's just all over them all the time. And like quite often he's fouling them, but that's like, and sometimes he's being, you know, sometimes he is being fouled as well. And, you know, his performance on in the Cove game was up there with, you know, some of the best striking displays I've seen from an Edinburgh City striker, and some of the best lower league displays. So, you know, we do have talent in the squad. I just, if you remember, you mentioned James McDonagh earlier, and James, for me, I thought James was an outstanding manager, and, you know, huge amount of time for the guy. I just thought something was a wee bit too negative, if I'm honest with you. I thought he was maybe just a bit too defensively minded and, you know, play safer. That's what we need just now. We need just a little bit of that noose, a bit of that cynicism that hasn't, we're not a cynical side at all, really. And I think that's what we need to get back to, that change of mentality. We're not, you know, we're not team that's going to be challenging for the playoffs, to be quite honest with you. We need to just be a horrible team to play against. That, and, you know, maybe we don't have enough of that. We could get some of the old guard back to teach some of the boys about that. But it's probably only Craney that really is the one that must be a nightmare to play against, obviously with Shanley as well. But, like, you know, Callum Crane is the one who leads on that point. I just, that to me is probably my biggest criticism of Mabry in terms of his management, is that we're just not cynical enough. We're just too naive. And that is fixable. I should say, so whatever happens with the new manager, I think that element to it is fixable. And it's just changing the way we set up, changing the mentality, changing the shape slightly, because we've got, well, there are some seriously good football players there, but we are looking at a strong division. This is a, there's no Peterhead this year. There's no Clyde this year, who were both absolute muck last time around. There's nobody like that. Even Annan, who we thought would struggle, have picked up more points than people would have expected. It's a hell of a lot more competitive.
I think the phrase we're looking for is that old Scottish, need a bit of dig.
Right? Yeah.
And I think, and I said that in the last pod.
The old dark arts.
It's not just the dark arts, because to be honest, Russell McLean's quite good at the dark arts if you actually watch him, right? He's very good at falling over. And I mean that in a positive way. Like a Ross Allen positive way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Blank at the same time.
He's quite good at drawing fouls, right? And I don't think some of the other players didn't necessarily have that. But the one thing I say is, like I said in the last pod, I say we're maybe missing like an old school centre half or something who can referee a game, like an Andy Munro or a Joe Mabu or somebody like that, that kind of style of centre half.
A mouthpiece.
You can literally intimidate players, referee football matches, and if we need somebody to kick somebody, kick them. Right? Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, like it's Scottish football and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, at this level, at this division, you kind of need a little bit of that, like you've said. You can play lovely football as much as you want, like Falkirk probably do, and teams higher up the division, and that's great. But they've all got guys in that team. Every single one of them, the other nine teams, have got somebody who will kick somebody. Folk are going to listen to this and think, oh, it's a Scottish football, you just want to go kicking to... for. That's not really what we're meaning. We're meaning somebody who's going to be up and at them, who's going to make sure they're winning balls, they're putting their foot in, they're putting their head in, they can talk away to a referee without getting booked or calling them fucking clowns or anything like that. No naming any names.
To use the technical term, you need a stopper.
Well, that's maybe a good idea. And it's not just in the middle of packs. I think Lewis Spence does that kind of well in the middle. But not necessarily just like booting folk in the air or anything like that, but I think he's quite good at...
He's got a wee bit more finesse about him than maybe Blackie would have.
Like the perfect midfield that we've had, the perfect midfield would have been for this division if we could have had them.
Blackie
if it was 5 years since, would be Blackie and Lindsay. And there's no doubt about it. You know what I mean? That would have been the perfect midfield combo.
Well, look, if you think back to our other really bad run of defeats, which was when we first came into League Two, it was the signing of Mark Laird, and that, obviously, a ridiculously good football player, probably my favourite that I've seen it in Brazil. But he was cynical as well. Like he knew how to manage a game. And whether that was winning fouls, whether it was niggly little fouls, pulling people back, and I don't know how many times Laird got booked, but it was plenty. Because he did that, we did it at the right time, and we were a cynical, horrible team to play against. Back then, and I think that to me is what's missing.
Alright, so a wee bit about dig in the middle there. Is there anything you want to finish up with there, Rooney?
No, I think that's it. I think we do. We missed that. We probably do miss a bit of bite. We probably spoke about that, putting Craney in there before, but then he is very good with whatever he plays. So we'll see what happens when the new manager arrives and what changes.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. Eh? You know what I mean? But whoever it is going to have it's a tough job at the minute, I think. And that's not anything to do with the players or anything like that. It just obviously we're in a bit of a rut. And I think any new manager, you hope for a bit of a new manager bounce, which Alan very clearly got. So I kind of hope for a wee bit of the same. Even just get a run of a couple of wins just under our belt, maybe nick a point off one of the full time teams or something like that. One thing I would say, that's maybe a positive. I know Cove are full-time and they're not very good. But that's always going to be a problem going from part-time to full-time, that transition in that year, I get that. But take a wee bit of confidence, the fact that I know we should have probably won the game, but it's still a point against a full-time team where last season we only got 3 points. 4 points, sorry. One off of Dunfermline, three off of Falkirk, you know what I mean? So we've already got one on the board already, so I would take that as a wee bit of a positive.
I don't know if Cove are full-time.
Yeah.
Hybrid.
No, they went completely full time. The board announced it
this year.
Aye. Actually, they announced it on the same day that Kieran Maguire, the Price of Football dude, announced all technically insolvent on Twitter because they're surviving by directors' funds and all that. Anyway, On that note, so that's Gaffer's away, new one in charge, hopefully soon. Announcement imminently, possibly. Kerzo and Adam Kearney in charge for Saturday. Obviously, Mark Kerr's been a manager before. Adam's doing a great job with the 20s. I don't think there's going to be much. I don't think there'll be huge amounts getting changed.
No. I don't think so.
No. So that's it. Obviously, good luck to both of them. And we'll see how that goes. So, as I mentioned, obviously, Adam in charge of the 20s. They're having a terrific season so far, it must be said. Where do they go? Let's have a wee look at my notes. I actually did some today. So I had 4 wins in the league, lost to... All been quite high scoring affairs. Got a game in hand to go top, which is quite good. Lost to the cup to Stirling Uni, who are always a good outfit, let's be honest. No divided loyalties there, of course. but no, a friend of the pod, Lewis Mitchell, was there. He says they're a very well organised team. They look quite good. Quite a lot of players. I think he'll probably go higher in the Lone League or even higher, he reckoned. I think we've probably got the same as well. There's quite a decent nucleus of youngsters there. We're playing on Friday at Meadowbank, 8 o'clock kickoff. It'd be great to get as many people down there as possible. It is free to get in. It will likely be on the side pitch. I've not actually looked if Leith Athletic are playing. It's usually on the side pitch because Leith usually play the Friday, we meet at home on the Saturday. So I think they're good to watch. It's a good bit of fun. I don't know if the Ultras will be back down again with their firecrackers and whatever else they were up to. Aye. Rooney, you want to pick up on that? You're usually the one that comes with it.
I've not actually seen them this year.
Oh, you know, I don't know.
So I might try and go along this week. I might go along this week. But no, I've not been along. No, always, if you can go though, always yep. Very entertaining. Always very entertaining. Try and put the ball the right way. Try and pass the ball, move, play with a bit of tempo. So it's good. It is good to watch, don't get me wrong. So
I quite like that wee side pitch for viewing the game as well.
Yeah.
Because you've got that barrier that you're obviously you're close to a bit closer than what you're in the main part of the sports centre. But the nice wee thing, if you could just stick a couple of stands up there, that'd be ideal. Let's be honest.
That's a different debate for another day.
A different debate for another. We'll talk about that in another day, but if you just stick a couple of signs, like a wee couple just of stands up there, that'd be there. Perfect.
You're
absolutely perfect. Anyway, right, aye, so that's the 20s. What's up, stop, because obviously the main talk is going to be about Maybury. We'll try to keep these ones short, these podcasts short these days. On to the women, a mixed season. I've not been quite had the promotion bounce, I don't think. I was there on Sunday when they got beat 7-0. It was just one of those days where everything that could go wrong went wrong. I'll be honest, I'd play a sent off early doors as well. They'd had 3 sent off the week before. so they were doing the bare bones of the squad, I think, players at your position. So probably not a fair reflection of where they are as a team. Can I struggle a wee bit in the league? So it's hard to say on your first viewing, if that's your first viewing of them, how they're going to be for the season. But I think the nucleus are decent squads there. Another one, if you can get down, folks, try and get down all the fixtures. I don't know if they're on our website yet. We're settling the FWF Championship website. But they're usually entertaining games. Sunday, I think, is just an aberration compared to what they normally are. So I'm not dwelling on that too much. Not to say everybody was poor, but some decent performances and all that kind of stuff. So that's another one we can go to. Anything else you want to cover, gentlemen, before I go on a wee rant?
I had the delicacy of a pie and a roll on Saturday.
Yes.
I'm still here to tell the tale. It is Tuesday, Wednesday, 4th of October at 8:03. And I still feel no ill effects. So I don't see it being a cornerstone of my diet in the future, but it was very nice. So
yes, that's what I've got to say. High class Scottish football cuisine. Steak pie on a roll. I mean, I cannot tell you how nice it is. It must be said. I put a picture on Pussbook. Folk are like, that looks amazing. Okay, why have you got any sauce in there? Because the moisture for the gravy was just perfect for the roll. That's what that was. Right.
Yeah,
just maybe we should try and lobby and see if we can get that at the food vans at Meadowbank.
I'm sure we could.
Mind you, the chips, cheese, and curry sauce is pretty good.
You can have your rant.
I'll have my rant, right? Well, I've not had one, I don't think, this season. I don't think I've really had anything this season, but I'll tell
know.
you what.
You might have.
I probably have. But the prices to get into some of these League One teams is an absolute joke, right? £18 for Alloa, right? Which is a farce, right? And I know folk are going to go, well, made a bunch, shine. That's only £11, blah, blah. That's irrelevant, right? £18 is too expensive for League One football, right? I believe Hamilton are charging £20. Now, I know they're full-time and all that kind of stuff, but League One, that's just a disgrace, right? Dunfermline were charging 20 and 22 last year. That's an absolute disgrace. We've got the campaign for 20's plenty in the Premiership for away tickets, and your team's two divisions below. You're only pulling in half of that, right? Anywhere close to any of these kind of numbers, and they're charging £20 and £22. Get a grip of yourselves, right? That's an absolute farce. I mean, there's teams in League Two, like East Fife and that, who are charging, I think, £18. I mean,
I
think their season ticket was more expensive than some Premiership clubs. I mean, what exactly are these guys playing at? Right? And, do you know, I just don't understand. Like, I know Scotland per head of population, and then even if it was, it's kind of high, it's number one in Europe and all that. Even without the Old Firm, it'd still be like third or fourth or whatever. Like, and that's great. But you could do more to get more people through the door. And pricing is the first one people are going to look at. You know what I mean? And you're putting there. Now, the standard of football is better than people think. I'm going to absolutely say, because I think the lower and non-leagues in Scotland get denigrated far too much for the quality of football, and I think it's a lot better than people think it is, because folk are willing to give it a try. There's too many going, I'm only watching the Premiership, or I'm only watching the Premiership on TV, I'm not watching anything else, rather than going supporting your local club. You know, and I just find getting into that kind of position of like £18 or £20 for League One, just absolutely mind-blowing. You know, even going down into League Two, I say East Fife have got that. I think Bonnie Riggs the cheapest at 14. I think. Do you know what I mean? And that's probably too much for League Two. If it were up to me, it'd be a flat rate, about a tenner, I think, to try and get people in. And I think you would get more people in at that. And I know there's overheads and it's more expensive now, and blah, 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 cost of living, et cetera, right? But the same fact, cost of living affects fans as well. So if you're going to say £18, Alloa had 450 there, which is maybe being generous, I think. But I can see why people wouldn't turn up to Alloa. I mean, the only thing in Alloa is a football team. I didn't mean that as a slight on Alloa or anything like that as a town, but they don't have any other sports teams or anything like that that I know of that I've got a following. And they're charging the best part of that. Oh, something's not right there. Something's not right there. It's just a whole gripe with Scottish footballs. I think the whole thing's overpriced. I think sport in general is overpriced in Scotland anyway, but that's a different story. But just as we're on a football podcast, I just think that's outrageous. I could not believe it when we got that through.
Yeah.
Anyway, thoughts on that? I'm just going to let me carry on.
You know,
the only thing I would say is, like, people slag off Meadowbank, and that's fair enough. A lot of points are valid, but, you know, when we ask what could the club do, the club have done the one thing they can do, which is make it as affordable as possible, so you're not paying £20 to come and watch a game at Meadowbank and the road seat and all issues. I think it's undersold by the club actually a little bit, and is overlooked by opposition fans. £11, that is, even at Meadowbank, I think that's the best value for football in this country, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And away fans going, if we're going to have a big game, away fans in the segregation, and, you know, we're all tickets holders sitting in the middle now, we've got our own food truck.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are listening to us.
Yeah. You know,
I think for everything and I've watched, I don't know if I touched this in the last one, I watched the Newcastle documentary, and it's one of the things about, like, how if you look for a sponsor, like a team at that level in the Premier League in England, they'd maybe be tendering for like 4 years before they actually got it, you know, and to think of what these guys have done. Now, I know it's all scalable, it's all relative, but what these guys have done in such a very, very short period of time, and they're still listening to people to go, it's pretty good off the pitch, to give them their due. It's on the pitch, that's what we all pay to watch, though. So, you know, we're all in that country.
I mean, that's the one thing, is that the new board came in and went, right, what's the one thing everybody's been complaining about? Price of tickets. Let's make it as affordable as we can. What's the other thing we complained about? No segregation for big games and all that, or no segregation in general. Need two turnstiles. we got two turnstiles and we got segregation. Yeah. I know everybody wasn't happy about it. I get that. But the vast majority of people were asking for that. And it wasn't just like our core support and our wee group and all that kind of stuff. There was people that were have no connection to any of us or anything like that who were complaining about it as well. So, yeah. I mean, they've recognised that fact. They've done all the right things that you can ask for as best you can this under the constraints that we've got anyway. But yeah, I think £11 is good value. Yep. I mean, you're Ali's venturing to the Fridge of Dreams on Saturday. That's what's an extra pound. And let's face it, Murrayfield's falling apart, and I'm not going to dress it up any other way. Ken, it's a coupe, but it's our coupe. It's still wooden seats and wooden gangways and all that kind of stuff in the stands, eh? Yeah. So, do you know what I mean? It's a building that was built for the war, and it looks like it's still in the war, let's be honest. So regardless of how poor Meadowbank is and whatnot, I think £11 is great value for League One football and Scottish football in general. And I think everybody else needs to have a wee look at that. You know what I mean? The board have listened to us. I don't think any other board, how many other boards would turn around and go,
no,
I'm not going to drop our prices for that. You just have to deal with it because of X, Y, and Z. So, you know what I mean? As I said, like, fans are still in the cost of living. Like, cost of living crisis affects clubs, but affects fans just as well. You know what I mean? We're the ones that have got to bite the bullet and decide what we're going to pay for. Electricity or going to a football match. So there we are. Right, so that's that. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add, or can we wrap up there?
No gripes from me.
No, all good. Just looking forward to it. Looking forward to the game on Saturday. I think we'll win. I think we'll win under Mabry. I think we'll win. I think we'll win as well as that. And yeah, to see who the new manager is. And you know, I said at our first podcast of the season, I would bite your hand up for eight. I would bite your hand, your arm, your leg, your whatever for eight now. But like I said, the core of the squad is there. I've had my say on whether the decision on Mabry was right, but you know, obviously get fully behind whoever comes in. Can't wait to see who it is.
Aye. I think we're all say that. Well, we both said at the beginning. That's one of the rare things we agreed on, I think. So we both said take it off it, and we both said the same problem about maybe how we stand off in the fence as well. So that's 2 points. We've done pretty well in the season, and we've agreed on some points tonight as well. How about that? Look at that.
Hell's about to freeze over.
Rooney's away for a lie down. Rooney's away for a lie down. Right, so I think that's it. Is that top guys out? Right, okay then.
All good.
Right, okay then. So then, thanks very much for listening. Any points you want to send, please send them to me. fansrep@edinburghcityfc.com for email, or ECFC fanrep on Twitter. It's still called Twitter, Elon. Maybe I'll have to get the bleeper on that one, innit? I'm also on the new one, Blue Sky. I must have got a wee invite for that. Just spill that, man, gents. Because I'm a big celeb. That's not why I got it. Anyway, right. Just decided it fast because it's time to go away. Right. So from that, it's a good night for Mr. Rooney.
Good night. Stay safe, folks. Enjoy your football at the weekend.
Yes, goodbye for Mr. Moncrief.
Yeah, good night, and good night, goodbye, and hopefully see a few of you on Saturday of the game.
Yes, and it's a goodbye from me, the Right Rev. Goodbye.